Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perfect design. We thank you for your perfect plan. We ask you to bless parents today. We think of fathers particularly, Lord, but I ask you to bless parents to raise their kids up in Christ. We ask you to teach them, to admonish them, to teach them the gospel, Father. We pray for our family members who are lost, Lord. We all have members who do not rely on Christ as our Lord and Savior, Father. We ask you to allow us to be your instrument, Father, to present the good news. We pray for Jerry and Betty today, Lord, as they're traveling. Pray for travel mercies. We think of the family of Steve LaFleur, who has passed away recently, Father. We ask you for their strength. Pray that you will help them grieve and rely on you. We lift up a young lady, 15 years old, who's been expelled from school, Father. Pray for her father to step in, Father. We know that the loss of a mother due to death is very taxing on a family, and we ask you to give this man strength to raise this young lady up, and pray for her willingness to obey her father. Lord, we think of Lori, and we ask you to help her with her infection, her respiratory infection, and ask you to heal her soon. We think of those who are persecuted around the world in the name of Christ, Father. We ask you to protect our brothers and sisters in Christ. Give them a bold witness, Father, to worship you and to present the gospel when you've called them to do that, Lord. We think of the missionaries in our midst, Father, that we help support. We ask you to bless their ministries. We ask you to do great and wonderful things through them, Father, for your glory. Lord, we just again thank you for the resource of prayer. We know that you listen to every one of our prayers and answer every single one of them, Father. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. Ultimately, Lord, give us the ability to trust you in all situations and all circumstances, Father, to follow you with resolve, as we sang earlier, Father, to follow you with a conviction and a fervor that will make non-believers wonder why is Jesus Christ so special. We thank you for the grace. We thank you for the mercy, and thank you for the faith you've given each and every one of us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Darren. We appreciate that. Let's pray as we get ready to look at God's Word. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to think about the whole issue of fathers and what it means to be a father. And Lord, also thinking about how we can support and express appreciation for our fathers. Each one of us here comes from a different background, perhaps, as far as fathers are concerned. Some have had great fathers, some maybe not so great. And so there may be different responses to a message on Father's Day. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that you are our Father, ultimately, and we can come to you and trust you and share with you the deepest issues of our heart, and we can count on the fact that you are there for us. We thank you that you love us, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mark Twain. Anybody ever heard of Mark Twain? Probably we have. Mark Twain, when he spoke about his father, he said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant that I could hardly stand having the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years." Interesting how your perspective on parents changes as you get older. Somebody said that there is nothing that moves a father's soul quite like his child's cry. Another writer said this: "The simple truth is that fathers are irreplaceable in shaping the competence and character of their children." Darren and I talk about this occasionally. We both, do some counseling. He's at one agency, I'm at another. And the lack of good fathers, the lack of good father role models is a real problem in many families. And it's certainly one of the causes, if not maybe the root cause of many children's problems. Another writer said, "The father is the priest in the home. This means standing in the presence of God for others." You know, as we think about fathers, we recognize that any man can be the physical father of a child. You know, anybody can be a seed donor. Anybody can get somebody pregnant. But it takes a special person to be a dad. There are many biological fathers out there. There are many, they call them bio dads if you're if you're in the field of mental health. That's what they're referred to, bio dads. But there may be a lot of bio dads, but there's not all of them are real fathers. And actually, the first Father's Day was observed in Spokane, Washington in 1910. Someone named Sonora Louise Smart Dodd of Washington first proposed the idea of a Father's Day in 1909. Mrs. Dodd wanted a special day to honor her father, William Smart, who was widowed when his wife died in childbirth with their sixth child. Mr. Smart was left to raise the newborn and his other five children by himself. Mrs. Dodd wanted Father's Day to be celebrated on the first Sunday in June, her father's birthday. However, the Spokane Council couldn't get the resolution through the first reading until the third Sunday in June. Over the next decade, other cities across America began celebrating a day for fathers, and in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge supported the idea of a National Father's Day. It wasn't until 1966 that President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. In 1972, President Richard Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June. This came almost 60 years after Mother's Day had been proclaimed a national day of observance. So Mother's Day came first, Father's Day came along later. Now, you and I live in a day and age when the traditional family is under attack. Obviously, we know that. We see it all the time. It's becoming more and more blatant as time progresses. Obviously, marriage no longer holds the importance in our country that it once did. Cohabitation, or serial monogamy, or alternative relationships or lifestyles, these seem to be more the norm rather than the exception. I've worked in some secular workplaces where it was very, very difficult to find a normal heterosexual married couple. Either they were homosexuals or lesbians, or they were people that were cohabitating together. There are TV shows, and maybe some of you have seen some of these TV shows. For example, like Love and Marriage, featuring Al Bundy, and also All in the Family, featuring Archie Bunker, that seem to deliberately portray the man or the father as some kind of an incompetent or some kind of a buffoon. Feminists will come along and say, well, who needs men anyway? All we need is a sperm bank. Men and fathers are unnecessary. This same attitude is also displayed by those who believe that same-sex couples can do as good a job as raising children as can heterosexual couples. There's people out there that believe that. There are many sperm donors. There are many bio dads. There are many deadbeat dads, whatever we want to call them, floating around society, impregnating females and walking away. No child support, no positive contact with a child, no nothing. And we see a lot of this in counseling. You know, it's the reason half these kids are in counseling. So many kids are in counseling. Over at our agency, we are crying out for therapists that work with children. Why? Because so many children are having so many problems. And part of that, not all of it maybe, but part of that is the lack of fathers. Anybody see the was it Fox News special? This was quite a while ago, probably about 6 months ago, maybe a year ago now, where they found this one guy who was, he had 14 baby mamas, that's what they call them, baby mamas, and 22 children. This is a guy, I forget which state it was, might have been Tennessee or something like that. This guy had 22 different children with 14 different women. And when they asked him, do you pay any child support? He said, what? Child support? I don't have enough money for child support. Well, yeah, can you imagine how much money he would pay if he had to pay child support? So these people do this. I had people in my own office that talk about all their baby mamas and talk about all their children. There's no desire to be a father there. You know, to them, it's just a recreational thing. And, well, somebody gets pregnant, well, that's their problem. And so what do we have? We have a lot of kids growing up in this country without fathers, without good male role models. This morning, we want to take some time to focus on real fathers, real dads, dads who have been created in God's image, dads who do love their children and do their level best to provide for them and to nurture them. I believe that, you know, that in a Christian setting, at least, that's probably reflects the majority of fathers. And may I say to you, it's already been said, we'll say it again, Happy Father's Day. And may God bless you who are fathers for taking on the responsibilities that you have. I know when I became a father, I didn't have a clue. You know, I'd never held a baby. I'd never done anything with babies. And all of a sudden I'm in the hospital and they're handing me this baby. I didn't even know how to hold it. And I was afraid I was going to drop it on the floor. But over time you learn. And sometimes you learn the hard way. But you do learn. And if you do the very best you can, I think God honors that. And he blesses that. I would like to propose this morning that we look at five steps that we can take in order to show our love and appreciation to our fathers every day of the year. We should appreciate our fathers. There are good fathers out there. There still are. And some of those are represented in this room. Fathers who have done their very best to be good, to try not to be too domineering, too demanding, too controlling, but have used enough force if necessary to make sure the kids do what they're supposed to do, try to be a good role model, to try to provide, do all those things. It's hard to figure it all out because you've got lots of people in our society telling us how to do it. And most of those people don't have a clue. You've got to realize that the ones who are supporting the alternative lifestyle seem to be taking over the culture. But what can we do in our setting, our Christian setting, to show love and appreciation for our fathers? So what's the first step? First step is to be sure that we treat him with honor and respect. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." In other words, if you honor your parents, it seems, according to the Bible, that you might live longer. If you listen to what they tell you, you might actually survive and do better. Many times you hear about kids that have gone off into a lifestyle of sin and all kinds of problems, and later on they sit somewhere and they say, "Oh, if I just listen to my parents, if I just listen to them." You know, parents don't know everything, and we all know that parents are human just like everyone else, but they know a lot more than kids. And if we listen to our parents and treat our fathers in particular with honor and respect, we'll be a lot further ahead. A society without respect for parents and their authority is a society that teeters on the edge of collapse. Every structure has to have a hierarchy of authority. In the home, it starts with a father and then goes down to the mother and goes down to the children. Our own society is a case in point. There's so much disrespect for parents. And you know, if you can't teach a child to respect the parents, that child's going to go out thinking, "Well, hey, I can treat everybody this way." And then they run up to the hard realities of life, that they live in or work in situations where that kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated. So much disregard for parental or any other kind of legitimate authority. It's all around us. God has created the family. He created males, females, husbands and wives. He created Adam and Eve. And this may not be politically correct to say, but he did not create Adam and Steve or Matilda and Gertrude. He created males and females to be together. Anything that deviates from that is sin. Husband and wives are to be together. They are to be a team. The husband is to lovingly lead the home. The wife is to lovingly submit to the leadership of the husband. Children are to be taught to respect parental rule. They are to respect and submit to the authority of the father and also the mother. But here we're talking about Father's Day, so we'll focus on them. This does not mean that the father has a blank check. The father can't go out and do anything he wants just because he's the man. There are limits. Abuse is unacceptable. However, may I throw this out, legitimate discipline is not abuse. So we need to keep that in mind too. But a loving father will from time to time have to apply the rod of correction to the child in order to enforce discipline and curb bad behavior. We've all heard about the Board of Education meeting the seat of learning. I know that we all know what that means. In this day and age, that's a big no-no. You're not supposed to do that. Well, according to the Bible, you are. When they get older, obviously, it becomes more difficult to do that, but there's a time and place when it's appropriate. And you've got to realize that this is not always easy to do when you live in a culture when you're afraid that your neighbor is going to call Child Protective Services and report you. That happens all the time. They get tons of bogus calls from people. You know, if you're in a store and your kid acts up and you swat him, you know, somebody might decide they're going to call CPS. I've heard more people having that happen to. Or somebody might say, well, I lost my kids to CPS. I'm going to make sure so-and-so loses their kid to CPS. There's one lady that called on her neighbor 35 times because she didn't like her neighbor. Finally, they just said to her, if we get one more call from you, we're going to arrest you for harassment. That's enough. Stop. And, you know, a lot of stuff that comes into CPS is really bogus. We just looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, talking about the fact that fathers are to lovingly lead their children, not to provoke them unto wrath, that people are supposed to respond to and respect the authority of the father and the mother. We think about Genesis chapter 22, and this is an incredible story. Abraham has been told by God to take Isaac and sacrifice Isaac on an altar unto God. And so you see the story in Genesis 22, they're kind of trotting along, and they've got the animal, and they've got the wood, and they've got the fire, and they're going along, and Isaac raises the question, well, where is the offering? Where is the animal that's going to be slain? And Abraham says, well, you know, that God's going to provide that. And you know the story, right? And how Abraham takes Isaac, ties him to the altar, gets ready to kill him, and suddenly God intervenes and says, there's a ram in a thicket. Untie your son and slay the ram instead. And all that points to the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross, which we see in the New Testament. But you think about the kid. You know, and the kid's going along with this. Well, because dad told him to. The incredible respect for authority that occurred in this particular situation. And I know generations ago, you just didn't say stuff to your parents like kids say nowadays. Kids say incredible things to your parents. They said, you said that to your parents? I mean, if I'd said that, I probably wouldn't even be here. I probably would be, but maybe in a different capacity, who knows. But there's just stuff you didn't do back then. And there was a respect for authority that was held, and we need to be sure as people that have fathers that we show respect and love and honor them as well. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Men need respect. Sometimes we don't always behave in a way, you know, maybe we fall short and maybe we say, well, I can't respect you now. Look at what you're doing. But men need that respect. They need to feel it. And that's what God has ordained. So what we need to do is that we need to be sure that we're respecting our fathers. Children are to obey their parents. Fathers are to be honored and respected as the head of the home. That is their God-given role and one that God has ordained. So the first step that we can take to show our love and appreciation for our fathers is to honor and respect them. Number two, accept him for who he is. Accept him for who he is. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. Now, a lot of people say, if you live in this culture, they say, well, you know, we all kind of evolved from the organic slime, you know. It all happened in a pool of DNA, and somehow over billions and billions of years, we now have what we have here in this world with all the different species of life and with males and females. It takes more faith to believe in that, that all those mutations could have occurred, that all those things could have come out to have a positive outcome like we have now, than it does to just believe that there's an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present Creator God who just made us. This is a lot easier to believe, at least for me anyway, than evolution. Verse 7 of Genesis 2, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed." Now we're going to go to verse 18. "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and all the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." So as you look at this, we see that God had created man out of the dust of the ground. He created woman out of the side of man. Every man, certainly this will include every woman as well, but every man is a very unique creation of God. Adam was the one that was created by direct creation of God, by God's hand, and the rest of us came into being by a secondary means called reproduction. I know that we all know what that is. Each one of us is born with certain qualities, with certain skills, with certain abilities. We can see this by the fact that different men have different jobs. Some jobs involve writing and speaking and organizing, while other jobs will involve direct manual labor, skilled trades, working in factories. And we have doctors, lawyers, counselors, veterinarians, and the list just kind of goes on and on. Every man has a special gift. They have special talents, they have special strengths, and they have special weaknesses. There's things that they're good at, and there's things that they're not so good at. And that's just the way God made them. Each one of our fathers are unique. As we think back on our fathers, we can think of, well, Dad's really good at A, B, and C, but he's not so good at D, E, and F. And that's just true for everybody. Some can fix anything. Others are all thumbs, kind of like me. Some do well with speaking, others don't do so well. Every father is a gift from God, and I would say certainly that's true of the good ones, and everyone is different. Everyone is special. And what do we need to do? We need to accept them for who they are. Who they are as far as that they are a creation of God, and they are made a certain way by God. You know, in the old days, you could hear things, kids used to get into arguments with each other, and they would say things like, my daddy can whip your daddy, or my daddy's smarter than your daddy. Ever hear about that? I don't know, I don't seem to hear so much about that anymore. Maybe because I'm not in school anymore, I'm not in a school environment, I'm out of touch or something, but you people really kind of brag up their daddies. Well, I don't, maybe because of the culture is, we don't brag them up quite as much as we used to. But every daddy is special. Every daddy is unique, and we need to be sure that we accept them and love them for who they are. I want to have you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for just a moment. We're talking about love. And fathers need love, too. I mean, they don't always admit it. They don't always act like it, but they do. And so that's something to keep in mind. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. As soon as I get my pages unstuck, we'll get to it. Verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. So just looking there for at a few passages of Scripture that describe to us the need for love, and we're to love our fathers, and the Bible tells us how we are to do that, and certainly that would include loving other people as well. Accept him, love him for who he is, don't compare him with other people. Maybe the guy down the street can whoop him, but in the final analysis, none of that matters anyway. Helen Steiner Rice says, "Fathers are wonderful people, too little understood, and we do not sing their praises as often as we should. For somehow father seems to be the man who pays the bills while mother binds up little hurts and nurses all our ills. And father struggles daily to live up to his image as protector and provider and hero of the scrimmage. And perhaps that is the reason we sometimes get the notions that fathers are not subject to the things we call emotion. But if you look inside dad's heart where no one else can see, you'll find he's sentimental and soft as he can be. But he's so busy every day in the grueling race of life, he leaves the sentimental stuff to his partner and his wife. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolades of praise. For the only reason dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and guide, someone that we can count on to always be on our side. Loving dad, 365 days a year. How do we do it? What steps do we take? We treat him with respect and honor. We accept him for who he is. And number three, we remember and live out the good things he taught us. Anybody ever been taught anything by their dad? Probably all of us have been. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Hebrews 12, verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, you know, we all have a Heavenly Father, right? If you're a believer in Christ, you have a Heavenly Father who disciplines you from time to time. He may use various means. Our earthly fathers actually get their cue from the heavenly fathers who also discipline us. God the Father disciplines us perfectly, and we know, in all honesty, that our earthly fathers don't always. Many times they do, but there are times when they fall short, and we all have. We probably don't like the discipline. Anybody here like the discipline? I'm not talking just about, you know, paddling or anything like that. There's other kinds of discipline. Paddling is usually kind of a last resort thing when nothing else seems to be getting through. But their discipline can take many, many different forms. You know, even when the discipline was done well and with the best of intentions, we probably still didn't like it, but it was necessary for our instruction and to help us to grow into the people we need to be. Most likely, we needed our discipline, and in the big picture of life, we'll look back on some of those experiences with appreciation. Yeah, I remember the time the old man did such and such to me, and I didn't like it at the time, but, you know, I felt like he did some good for me later on. They did it because they loved us. They wanted us to grow up. They wanted us to learn the things that we needed to learn in order to be successful in life and have fewer problems. I remember when I was in seventh grade, I lived in New Jersey, and I went to a very small school, and I got on the basketball team. And I'd never played basketball in my life, and this was very, very exciting for me to be on a team with other guys. And my father said to me, you need to maintain a B average in order to play sports. So the first semester I did really, really well. First marking period, actually. I got almost all A's and B's. And they said, oh, that's good, you can play. Well, the next marking period, things didn't go so well. My A's dropped to B's and my B's dropped to C's. And my father came up into my room to inform me that I was no longer on the basketball team. And I needed to go to the coach and explain that I had to quit and why. I remember I was pretty upset. I was angry. I cried. I did all kinds of things. But I ended up telling the coach, and that was the way it was. And, you know, after that, my grades were always at a B average or above. You know, and that forced me to focus on school and to focus on doing well in school so I could do some of the other things I wanted to do in life. And so that was good for me because it was easy to kind of let things go and not work all that hard. And, but that was the time when discipline was applied, and it was very effective, and I ended up benefiting from it. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Proverbs 1:8, hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 4:1, hear, O son, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. What's the point there? Our fathers are put into our lives to teach us things. Now, maybe we didn't have great fathers, but there were some things that they taught us that have been beneficial to us. And so we need to look back and remember those things and try to live out the good things that they do teach us. Each one of us has had different experiences with fathers. Some have had really good fathers, and some of us have had fathers that frankly weren't so good. All of us have been disciplined. Most likely there was some good things that they taught us, regardless of who they were. So let us show our love to them by remembering and living out those good things. One writer says this, he says, I remember stealing 6 softballs when I was working as a stock boy in a 5 and dime store in my early years in high school. I remember trying to find a place to hide them when I got home. I don't know what in the world I planned to do with 6 softballs. To this day, it just baffles me, the logic of it. But I stuck them in the back of my drawer and my mother found them. My father presented himself to me and told me that we were going to make a trip back to the store where I was going to go and talk to the owner, and I was going to confess. I will never forget his instruction on the way. I mean, I was just sitting there thinking, dying, thinking about what was going to happen. It was just like passing razor blades to think about standing in front of my employer. Well, I stood there and told him what I had done. My father was waiting in the car. He didn't go in with me, and I heard my boss say, you're fired. I stumbled back out to the car and sat down. I was low as I could ever remember being. On the way, I remember my dad beginning to rebuild my emotions. I had done wrong, and I had learned an incredible lesson. He didn't overdo it, but he drilled into me that when you steal, you get fired. And if you don't get fired at that moment, you lose something that can't be bought with any price, and that's your self-respect. I remember, too, we got on the subject of what in the world I was going to do with those 6 softballs. But there was something about the ornament of grace that came around my neck from my father, who, before we went into the house, took time to put his arms around me and to understand. This teenage kid was mostly concerned about my father's not telling my friends, and as far as I know, he took that story to his grave and never told on me. Third step for showing love to our fathers, remembering and living out the good things he has taught us. Fourth step, express appreciation for him and forgive him when he fails. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Has any men here ever failed as a father in some way? You know, I think we've all failed at some point. You know, we've all maybe fallen short in terms of how we handled certain situations. You know, just simple honesty, all of us are sinners and we all fall short, and that includes parents. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So obviously we're focusing on the Heavenly Father, but the idea there is that your typical father, you know, we tend to believe that most fathers truly care about their kids, and that when you come to them and ask them for food, they're not going to hand you a rock. Here's a rock. Or to hand you a snake. They're going to make sure that the legitimate need for food or water or whatever it is, you know, and there's all kinds of things that kids need. You know, I say, you actually need that? Yes, I do. So you end up providing for them. Good fathers generally try to be there for their children. They try to meet their needs. They try to go to their events. They try to show support for them in other ways. Sometimes fathers fall short. Maybe they lose their jobs, or have to work late and can't get to the ball game, or they don't make enough money to get their kids in the colleges they want to go to, or for one reason or another, they end up divorced from their mother. Sometimes fathers who are just people fail. They fall short in the performance of their duties. Sometimes they need to be forgiven for their failures. So one step towards loving Dad 365 days a year is to express appreciation for him and forgive him when he fails, because we all have. One writer says this about fathers. A father is a creature that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father growls when he feels good and laughs when scared half to death. A father never feels worthy of that worship when a child dies. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try to smooth the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. A father gets very angry when the school grades aren't as good as he thinks they should be. So he scolds his son, though he knows it's the teacher's fault. A father gives his daughter away to another man who is not nearly good enough so he can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. A father makes bets with insurance companies about who will live the longest. One day he loses, and the bet is paid off to those he leaves behind. So loving our fathers, treating him with honor and respect, accepting him for who he is, remembering and living out the good things he taught us, expressing appreciation for him and forgiving him when he fails. And finally, the last one, probably the most important, is to pray for him. Your fathers need you to pray for him. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. All fathers need prayer. We are weak at times. We are confused. We don't often want to admit that, but we are. We're uncertain as to what to do or how to relate or what course of action to take. We are sinful sometimes in our responses, and we need God's help. Sometimes we don't ask for it like we should. There are many pressures on fathers this day. You know, fathers are pretty much a byword almost in our culture, you know. People talk about who needs men, who needs fathers. You know, many people that have had experiences with fathers have had very bad experiences. And so fathers are not always talked about in a very positive way. And there's a lot of pressure on guys. They face criticism. They face devaluation. They face scorn in many cases. Watch some of the TV programs and watch how they treat fathers. They have a tough job, but it can be a rewarding job. And as we close this morning, listen to the words of Irma Bombeck. Last year I received a letter too late to use for Father's Day, but is still relevant. A single mother had raised a son who was about to become a dad. Since he had no recollection of his own father, her question to me was, what do I tell him a father does? When my dad died in my 9th year, I too was raised by my mother, giving rise to the same question, what do fathers do? As far as I could observe, they brought around the car when it rained so everyone else could stay dry. They always took the family pictures, which is why they were never in them. They carved turkey on Thanksgiving, kept the car gassed up, weren't afraid to go into the basement, mowed the lawn, and tightened the clothesline to keep it from sagging. It wasn't until my husband and I had children that I was able to observe firsthand what a father contributed to a child's life. What did he do to deserve his children's respect? He rarely fed them, did anything about their sagging diapers, wiped their noses or their fannies, played ball, or bonded with them under the hood of the car. What did he do? He threw them higher than his head till they were weak from laughter. He cast the deciding vote of the puppy debate. He listened more than he talked. He let them make mistakes. He allowed them to fall from their first two-wheeler without having a heart attack. He read a newspaper while they were trying to parallel park a car for the first time in preparation for their driving test. If I had to tell someone's son what a father really does that is important, it would be that he shows up for the job in good times and in bad times. He's a man who is constantly being observed by his children. They learn from him how to handle adversity, anger, disappointment, and success. He won't laugh at their dreams, no matter how impossible they might seem. He will dig out at 1 a.m. when one of his children run out of gas. He will make unpopular decisions and stand by them. When he is wrong and makes a mistake, he will admit it. He sets the tone for how members of the family treat one another, members of the opposite sex, and people who are different than they are. By example, he can instill a desire to give something back to the community when its needs are greater than theirs. But mostly, a good father involves himself in his kid's life. The more responsibility he has for a child, the harder it is to walk out of his life. A father has the potential to be a powerful force in the life of a child. Grab it. Maybe you'll get a greeting card for your efforts. Maybe not. But it is steady work. So men, with those words, may I say once again, happy Father's Day. And the rest of us, by God's grace, let us love the fathers that we know and the fathers that have been given to us the way they deserve to be loved. By treating them with honor and respect, by accepting them for who they are, by remembering and living out the good things he has taught us, by expressing appreciation for him and forgiving him when he fails, and finally, the last one, by remembering to pray for him. Shall we pray? Lord, this morning we pray that you would bless every family here today that's represented. We pray that the fathers would have a good day, that they would feel the love of their children, they would feel the love of their spouses, they would feel the love of other family members. And Lord, help us who are fathers to remember that you have given us a tremendous responsibility. May we look to you as we live out this responsibility and try to do what you've called us to do. We thank you that you love us and that you're patient with us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed.